Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Jake, before we talk to Stan, did you like, did you watch the end of the Nets and the Bucks game? It was a really good final couple of minutes. It was terrific. Yeah. And I thought, because it was like KD only had two shots in the first half, but there was that little stretch where him and Middleton traded shots back and forth.
Yeah.
But then, you know, KD hit 8 straight points, right?
Yeah.
And so I thought, like KB just went into turbo mode. It's right. Over. He's not going to miss anything.
Taking over.
Right?
They're going to pull this out.
Were you checking Twitter out at all when
yes.
Bruce Brown decided to?
Yes. Yes, I know exactly the meme.
But, just Bruce Brown, right?
Right.
Of all the players we talk about on the Nets, like, no, I'm taking it from here. So I don't know if you follow Shea Serrano on Twitter.
I guess it would have been a GIF that was going around. Are you talking about the Arsenio Hall?
No, I didn't see that one.
What was that one? What was that movie with Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall where they, like, back in the 50s?
Arsenio Hall in it. Oh, are you talking about Life?
No.
Eddie Murphy.
They're like gangsters.
Harlem Nights?
Yes. Harlem Nights. Anyways, I'll have to send that
what
one.
What was it?
They were like in a standoff, and one guy just comes in and fires a gun off, and Arsenio Hall smacks him. Like, what are you doing?
I need to see that.
Yes, it was great.
I love Harlem Nights.
Yes.
I love Life also. In general. But Shea Serrano tweeted, Bruce Brown looked at a 2-time finals MVP and also a guy who hit a go-ahead 3 in the final minute of a Game 7 to win a championship after a historic comeback and said, no, y'all, I got this. And then he put, I have never respected a player more. I mean, you take some, you know, hey, that's what you're looking for in the playoff, right? Playoff balls. He didn't come through and may never be allowed to take a shot in the final minute of a game for the rest of his Nets career. But you know what?
Hey,
what do they say? Shoot your shot. And let me tell you something.
If he would have hit it.
He did.
If he would have hit it.
No. Stan Weber joins us now. What's up, Stan? Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Stephen. Thanks for having me on. And it's great to hear any updates on sports because I was separated from sports more yesterday than I have been probably at any time in my grown-up life. And so I have a real hard time figuring out what day it is. With what went on yesterday, I feel like you're calling me on a Sunday morning. So just to prove that case, yesterday, first of all, I'm in Wichita where I grew up, and I'm celebrating my parents' 60th wedding anniversary.
Oh, congratulations. That's fantastic. 60 years.
Yeah, no, it is fantastic. There's no doubt about it. And they don't just they're kind of romantic, I guess you would call it. And so they don't just, hey, let's have a little dinner or something and have some family over and whoever can make it of the grandkids. No, they invite as many people as they possibly can and go and have a full mass and a full day of wedding activities. I mean, all day from 1 o'clock at church till 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night. We are at the facility doing things, and actually we had to help get things set up and food and drink and everything else. So I was just locked in for that all day and had the least reference to sports I've ever had. I left my phone in the car, didn't look at it for 14 straight hours or whatever. To make it even more real, why it seems like you called me on Sunday morning, my wife elbows me and says, hey, you better get up. They're going to be calling you here in just a second to get on the radio. And I said, okay, yeah, no problem. I just listened to her so well, went over and brushed my teeth, you know, put on a new shirt and said, sat down and said, okay, I'll get ready to call. And I looked down and suddenly it said 02 on my phone. I go, that's surprising that they wouldn't call me. Then I realized it was 5:02. I'm such an idiot. I didn't realize that, you know, it being completely dark outside might have been a hint.
Stan, we're not calling you at 5:02. I'm just going to fill you in on that. Also,
you said get up, and I said, okay.
I thought you were going to say it was 7:02 because Jake could not find his phone, by the way. So there was a little bit of a panic there, and then he was able to find his phone in the car. And had he not found his phone, We would have relied on you calling us because that's...
Oh, I know the back door
number.
I know the back door number. If I call his phone, he won't answer most of the time.
Right.
If I call the normal call-in line, he might just avoid me and say, I don't know. But I know the call-in line. You know, you mentioned Todd Lebo, and I've known Todd for 25 years, and Todd taught me that number very early. So I'm not going to say it out loud because I got it right in my mind. I don't need to look it up. I could rip it off right now. So I was, you know... At 5:02, I was about ready to call Jake and say, hey, you know, what's up? But then I looked and I said, that's a 5 on there.
Right.
So I was in such a daze. It's embarrassing. It was dark outside, and I was going, yeah, it just seems a little bit early right now. So it's great to be talking to you with the sun out and being able to hear about some sports again. So great talking to you, Stephen.
It's always great talking to you, especially when we got a big story in college football. So I did not talk about this at all in the first hour because I wanted to save it for you and get your reaction and have a good conversation about this. And so for people that don't know what I'm talking about or don't know all the details, I'm just going to read to you, Stan, from the article at The Athletic, and I'm really interested. I'm excited to hear what your response is to a college football playoff management committee subgroup proposing an expansion to the playoffs from 4 teams to 12, the playoff announced yesterday, and that confirms news reported by The Athletic's Nicole Auerbach earlier on Thursday. And so the four-person working group said in a statement, it's important that we consider the opportunity for more teams and more student-athletes to participate in the playoff. After reviewing numerous options, we believe this proposal is the best option to increase participation, enhance the regular season, and grow the national excitement of college football. And so it is important to note who the four-person group is. This four-person group consists of SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby, Mountain West Commissioner Craig Thompson, and Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick. CFP Executive Director Bill Hancock said that the format will not change this year or next year. But when it does change, if it goes through and everyone, look, I mean, you got those heavy hitters on the committee. This is going to happen. The 12-team format would include the 6 highest-ranked conference champions and 6 at-large spots. The 4 highest-ranked conference champions would receive a first-round bye. Teams 5 through 12 would play each other in the first round on the home field of the higher-ranked team. The quarterfinals and semifinals would then be played in bowl games with the quarterfinals scheduled for January 1 or January 2 if New Year's Day falls on a Sunday. The playoff bracket is recommended to follow the rankings. No modifications are expected to avoid rematches, and the bracket would remain in effect throughout the playoff. And so the support for this 12-team format has been building since April. One Power 5 AD told The Athletic's Andy Staples and Stuart Mandel that the working group has also been considering 6, 8, 10, and 16-team formats before they settled on this. And so let's start there. What's your reaction to this news, Stan?
Very excited, first of all. I could go a lot of different directions with the emotions. Firstly, they did a good job of keeping things quiet for a long time, and it really, again, makes me shake my head about how I'm just such a sports fan, like everybody out there listening, really no difference. And it's hard to believe that I know 3 of those 5 people fairly well, when you include Bill Hancock, obviously Bob Bowlsby, Craig Thompson. Those guys, it's hard to believe I'm sitting here going, I know these guys. I mean, they're making these giant decisions for college football. I've been watching my whole life, and these are the guys who are mainly focused on it right now, of carrying the message to a conclusion. They did a good job of keeping it quiet. They worked well. Let's pat them on the back, first of all, for saying, let's get moving to where we needed to go. They could have done this 4-team playoff for 25 or 30 or 50 years and then finally decided to do something else. So they moved quicker, you know, maybe than they have in the past in football. But to be fair, Stephen, I mean, we got to balance this out a little bit for those screaming who've heard me on radio since the 4-team playoff was announced that that's ridiculous. It should be 8. At least, every conference champion of the Big 5 deserves an entree into the tournament, period. It's unacceptable to not have a Pac-12 team every year in there, and they've been held out a number of years now. Big 12's missed out a couple of times. You just can't do that. Doesn't make any sense at all for finding a champion. And then it takes a lot away from the regular season as well. So four was fine, and we're going to have to live with it two more years, Stephen. But the expansion made all the sense in the world 9 years ago, or whatever it was, when ESPN and they came together. So if you want to, you know, pat him on the back now, and I'll do that for a little while because I'm excited. I also got to talk about the detriments. You know, it's ridiculous that they didn't see this right at the beginning. We all knew it needed to be, right? I mean, it's so simple, at least six. Now, what's really cool and fun to talk about, Stephen, is they surprised us. They surprised me for sure. Now, the news has been out. Guys like Dennis Dodd at CBS Sports, Dennis Dodd has been saying, hey, I think they're leaning toward 12-team playoffs. So this has been known to be the direction that's likely for a couple of weeks at least. But until that came out and that possibility was brought to our attention, I never thought about a 12-team playoff. And rarely do we see in college sports they surprise us with something like this. I don't know about you, but I did not see 12 ever on the board. Six or eight is what I thought. I didn't even think about a 10. And now they're coming at us with a 12-team playoff. Buys set in there, obviously conference champions, participation by the non-Power 5 schools. There's going to be a conference champion from one of those every time. And we can criticize Notre Dame a lot. Another notable item about this, you can hate on Notre Dame a lot because they always want their place at the table like they're a conference, right? They have their own NBC contract and all those things. But, Stephen, do you realize if the fine print ends up being like we expect today, the rule appears that it's going to be, if it goes through, that the four byes are the four conference champions that are considered the best of the six. Notre Dame, if they stay as an independent, can never be defined as one of those four.
Can't get a bye.
Never. They can't get a bye, which means if they had the best team in the country, went 12-0, they would have to be a five seed and play an extra game. Will this force them into the ACC? Will it create a bidding war for Notre Dame and other conferences, even like the Big 12? Or will Notre Dame accept this? Right now, let's just stick with the simplistic part of this and say Notre Dame's AD was one of those four, right? He was right in the middle of it. And for him to get along with the others and agree to something like that is a giant upset. So I think it's a classy move. I've got to pat Notre Dame on the back that they did not just sit there and try to take care of themselves. They went along and did something that was logical and really put an extra curveball into their situation. But I love the 12-team playoff. I don't want it to be any bigger. I don't want it to see 16 teams. So surprisingly, for the first time in my life, first time, I was 10 years old, and I said there should be a college football playoff. I've been saying this my whole life. I really am not going to say, hey, Stephen, when's it going to be 16? When's it going to be 24? I'm satisfied. You can stick at 12 the rest of my life, and I'll be happy with it.
So, Stan, you said something interesting about the Pac-12 champion should always be in there. So let me run this by you. I was reading this article in The Athletic, and they asked who the biggest winners were here. And Stuart Mandel said, by framing it as the six highest-ranked conference champions, rather than guaranteeing automatic bids for every Power 5 league, not only will at least one Group of 5 conference champ be included every year, but it's possible some years it could be two. So the Group of 5 is a big winner here. And so, in fact, it would have happened last year because, now this is it.
You're making a great point. Just a second. You're right. I did not say that correctly. The Pac-12 isn't necessarily guaranteed a spot, but if they don't have one of the top 12 teams.
Right. And so I mean, now that's going to be more of an unusual circumstance. But last year, the AAC champion, Cincinnati, was number 8, and the Sun Belt co-champ, Coastal Carolina, was number 12, and they both finished higher than Oregon, the Pac-12 champ, at number 25. And so Cincinnati and Coastal Carolina would have been ahead in the pecking order of Oregon. Do you have any problem with that?
None at all. And I just want to point out to the fans listening to us, because I get an opportunity to do a lot of radio and television and also give speeches, and this is why radio is so cool, why Sports Radio 810 and Talk Radio is so cool. I'm telling you right now is an example where I could be giving a speech and say something, and that versus you and I going back and forth and talking and listening to each other leads to whole different discussions and better clarifications. I'm scrambling reading about this college football stuff, you know, and you said it perfectly. I was thinking that every team, every conference champion of the Power Five was guaranteed in. So you did this discussion just amplified the light on the thought process, the understanding by me. I'm sitting there going, you're right. If they aren't very good at football and they have the 13th best team in the country, they don't get to be a part of the playoff. And there could be obviously multiple conference champions that don't include the Pac-12 in the top six. Really, only the top four matters, though. The four byes matter. But it could be any of the conferences. So I think the participation part of it, finding a true champion, making the regular season matter, having the highlight on the playoffs, that'll be just giant. The ratings will be awesome. There'll be more money. And after COVID, these guys know they need to find some more money. They lost a decent amount of money last year, got some more than they thought with the television networks paying them. But still, this is going to be a nice additional money contribution throughout college football. But doesn't it feel so much more like it is basketball? The NCAA tournament, everybody loves. And now, how can't you be one of the FBS schools and say, I love what we're doing here? There's participation. There's money. It just seems like it's a real college football playoff, and there's still a chance for some upsets to occur and all those kind of things. I think they're still going to include the bowl games. So I'm excited, Stephen, and I'm really surprised. I'm surprised we have 12 teams. I just thought it was going to be eight. I thought the good news was going to be we're going to go to eight teams. Now we get 12.
Okay, so and like you said, this had me, I mean, I was thrilled. I'm very excited about this. This is terrific for the people that, you know, have crushed the college football playoffs and wondering, you know, why don't they go, like you said, to eight? Why don't they expand? Getting 12 is like an unexpected gift. Not only are they expanding, but they're going to 12, which is even better. But, you know, there's going to be people out there that find something to complain about. But I'm willing to listen because maybe it's not perfect. So I don't have any problem with how they have it set up. Until, you know, like you said, we're all scrambling to try to figure everything out and read through everything. And I'm sure more things will come out, some issues that people have. But Andy Staples at The Athletic wrote that it ignores the fans and he doesn't like the bowl games being involved. And so, as I mentioned, the way the format goes, you'll have the those top four teams getting the bye, and then when you have the 5 through 12, those are going to be, you know, home games for college football teams. But then in the quarterfinals and the semifinals, those are bowl games at neutral sites. And he says those games shouldn't be bowl. This is what Andy Staples is saying. Those games shouldn't be bowl games. They shouldn't be at neutral sites. A team should be rewarded for their hard work in the regular season, and it's better if it's, you know, at someone's home stadium. It's better for the atmosphere, it's better for the fans, and it's a more of a reward for the team, the better team, to be able to host the games in the quarterfinals and in the semifinals. What about that criticism?
Well, first of all, just to give them the benefit of the doubt, because I basically don't agree, I have no problem with the NFL playoffs. And the atmosphere in Arrowhead Stadium, it's hard on the road team, but you deserve it by doing things in the regular season. You also just love the game. I mean, I don't watch any of the playoff games and go, oh, the road team has no chance. It's just home court advantage, home field advantage, game over. So I have no problem with competition being held at a home stadium and those kind of things. But the problem in his argument is they can't earn it. They don't play an NFL schedule. The 32 teams that play in the NFL are close enough, and we have statistical evidence in their scheduling to know who the best teams are if you had to rate them. Okay, we don't rate them. We have a policy of rules and regulations of how you earn. When we say they earn that home field advantage, we know what the rules are today. You can cite them right now. Almost everybody listening to us can cite what the Chiefs need to do to get a first-round bye and get the home field advantage all the way to the Super Bowl next year. You know, they know they have to win the division, period. Then they have to have the best record in all of the AFC. Those rules are all set. In college football, we don't have rules. We got guys who rank them for us. When you got humans telling us who's 1 through 4, then and who's 5 through 8, that's not earning it. No one knows what the rules are. That's someone guessing, Stephen. Let's get away from the guessing, number one. So it's not like the NFL. then. The Bulls deserve to be a part of this, and the players deserve to go to the bowl games. The fans will be there. When you get to those, when you're to the last eight teams, we're going to have enough fans in the stands to create atmosphere. There's no reason why it shouldn't be neutral site. But the main thing is, these players deserve to go and visit a city that they've never been to, play in a stadium that they've dreamt of playing in their whole life. You know, if you're playing in the Atlanta Falcons Stadium or the new L.A. Rams Stadium, or you're playing in the Rose Bowl, you know, you're playing in these domes, you're playing in Dallas where the Cowboys play in AT&T, this is a great thrill. They get all kinds of presents. They get treated like royalty. They stay in the fanciest hotels in the world. They get to do all those things and be a part of a bowl game. So I am absolutely wanting it to be a part of the bowl system, and I think that is a great part of it, and I don't think the argument holds up because we don't know who really should be the home teams. You know, 5 through 9 are going to get a home game. Not 1 through 4 right now, but 5 through 9 are going to get a home game, and we can't tell if 9's, if I should say 8, 5 through 8, you can't tell if 8's better than 9 just on some kind of vote. So I don't think that you have an objective criteria to decide who gets home games. It's going to be somebody guessing. The weaknesses of this thing is obviously, in my mind, the 13th team is just going to be hitting their head against the wall and arguing, like, why weren't we the 12th team? The 9th and 10th team are going to be so upset that they got to go on the road and play a game in someone else's stadium in a quick turnaround. Those are the kind of things that we're going to be arguing about, but really, we're going to have a real champion. We're going to have great participation. We're going to have unbelievable neutral site bowl games that'll be fun to watch. I'm very excited about it, and I don't think we should follow the NFL model perfectly. It just does not fit for college football.
So listen, Stan, I've left Jake out of the conversation, let him settle down. He had a rough 6 o'clock hour. He lost his phone and found out that his fly was down for the 6 o'clock hour. And, you know, that's a tough start to anyone's morning, to be honest with you. I mean, one of those things would have me off just for the rest of the day. He's bounced back. He's recovered very well. He's had coffee, and it seems like he's really settled into the morning. And so, Jake, I'll ask you this, because you're not as crazed of a college football fan as I am, as Stan is.
Correct.
So, but you're... So
I'm a regular Joe.
You're just a regular Jake is what you are. Yes. So two questions for you.
Yes, sir.
So just from the outside looking in, does this add to the appeal of college football for you to have a 12-team playoff format? And then number two, so what they're doing is, again, the top four teams get the bye. And so when it's five versus 12, you know, it's 5 through 12, those are going to be played at the higher seed stadium. So it's going to be true. You know, let's just dream a little bit. Say Mizzou's the 7 seed. They'll host a playoff game, and I'll be in Columbia. But the whole point is, then it's, you know, the higher seed hosts the game. But then when you get to the quarterfinals and the semifinals, it's bowl games at neutral sites. First, does this increase your interest in college football? Second, what do you think of the format?
I think it's great format. And honestly, like, I could care less about that 13th team crying about it. Like, great. It's way better than the 5th team.
No matter what number you get to, someone's... Look,
absolutely.
How many teams are in the NCAA tournament, and there's always someone complaining
absolutely.
At that point,
so I'd
too.
Much rather have be the 13th team than the 5th team, right? So you're going to get more of a true champion, I think. And the great thing about college football is the college atmosphere, right? And they're adding that into this playoff format, right? Before,
you get a round of playoffs at the college stadiums, and then you go to the bowl
because
games. And I like bowl games.
I think, you know, I do. I watch the playoffs. I watch, you know, the semifinals and the final. And look, they're special, but they're a little stale in terms of the atmosphere. Like, it's crazy, but it's like you're watching them play on an NFL stadium, and it's not the college football atmosphere. You're going to get both now, right? You're going to get teams with chances to go in on somebody else's home field and have a huge upset. Like, what drama that could create.
Just think how fired up Stan and I will be for a 12-5 matchup in the first round of the playoffs. Right, Stan? Like, it's going to be awesome.
I can't wait.
Right. I'm laughing thinking about it.
I think college football game day is going to go on a little bit longer. Steven, we're going to have you at a guest on that weekend.
I mean,
that weekend, I don't know if you'll be welcome to be a guest
Book
on
em.
Our show, but
yep.
uh, we will bang that one hard. Here's the other thing, Average Jake.
Yeah.
Ready for this one?
I'm ready.
You're a great evaluator of this. The college football regular season is the thing that everyone says is so valuable, that they've got to keep it valuable. And that's what Bill Hancock, who runs the college football playoff, everyone's been talking about. We got a great regular season, and we don't want to lose that. But deep down, when you get to deep conversations, there's still this issue of we need to create better product and better games in a non-conference. We need to have better teams play against each other in non-conference games. And what's happened in the four-team playoff is everyone's finding out that that's the exact opposite way you should go. The strength of schedule that we talk about in college basketball is real. But when they try to say strength of schedule in football, it's really hard to adjust it when you play only three or four non-conference games. And with only four teams making it, you cannot stub your toe unless you're Alabama. Alabama loses one every year, and they still get automatically put in. But most other teams are sitting there going, we can't play a hard rivalry, you know, a giant game against a cross-country opponent that's really fun and hard, because we can't afford to lose that game. Our conference is too hard, and you have no room for error. There's no strength of schedule that really matters. And the teams in the Pac-12, you know, there's a lot going on in the Pac-12 because they haven't made it. Their commissioner, Larry Scott, is retiring or not getting his contract renewed, basically. And they're just, all things are going on and out there on the West Coast about this. And they are saying, why do we play only three non-con games like the Big 12 and the Big 10? We need to go back to four like the SEC and beat up on another patsy team. Well, no one as a fan wants to see him play another easy team, Little Sisters of the Poor or whatever. You don't want to see that. You want good matchups. This, finally, with a 12-team playoff, is going to allow for the opportunity to teams to want to play hard games, be willing to lose a game, and have strength of schedule be a part of it. You know, Stephen mentioned it, a team like Missouri. You're in the SEC East, and if Florida and Georgia are just playing national championship-level football, you know, if you go get a hard non-con, let's say you lose to Florida and Georgia, you're third in the SEC East. In almost every scenario we thought of, even an 18 playoff, Stephen, you're dead. It's over. But you know what? Not in a 12-team playoff. If Mizzou goes and plays USC in a big game in non-con and beats USC and only loses those two games to Georgia and Florida, Mizzou's got a big chance of being in the top 12. You know, you have a chance for strength of schedule to matter, and this is the extra benefit that the schedule makers really understand. Instead of trying to get more easy games, which is where it was leading toward, teams are trying to find more easy games so they could have every non-conference game be a win, now can talk about, let's go out and play some really great games and win our share of whatever. It doesn't matter if you beat Georgia, Florida, or USC in that example. You win one of those games and only lose the other two all year, and a team like Mizzou could be in consideration to be in a college football playoff. So I just think that this is a giant issue that I didn't know there was an answer for. I was never optimistic enough that teams would be excited about strength of schedule. There was a lot of talk about it, but it wasn't going to happen. This finally gives a chance for guys who are making up their schedule to look for some good non-con games to protect if they lose in their conference against some unbelievably great teams and still make the college football playoff. So that makes the regular season better. What do you think about that?
I love it all. I'm smiling about this because
yeah, big grin. Because like Dan, you should see it ear to ear.
But what you said was right, because for the first time, I feel like Nate will find a way to complain about this. But for the first time, like for me, like you, I won't be like bitching and complaining about what they should do. Like, you know, when are they going to have some type of playoff? And then the right. Four, well, when are they going to have an expanded playoff? This could be the end game for me, and I'm happy.
Yeah, right.
I'm 48, it finally happened. Like, okay, this satisfies me.
Look, I went to a 1AA school, they call it now FCS, right? Western Illinois. And every year they had the playoffs. They had a 12-team playoff, right? It was fantastic. And it never made sense to me why they can't do that in Division I, right? In FBS. Why couldn't they do this? But not only did they took the similar format, they improved on it. I'm sorry, this is a better format than the FCS 12-team playoff. This is better.
So listen to this. Go ahead, Stan.
I'm so glad we don't have to argue about,
oh, the players have to play so many games, guys.
That was always a joke.
You know, I'm sitting here with my nephew, okay? He plays college football. Blew out his knee in spring ball. Blew out his knee. Long, you know, the lineman for the Kansas City Chiefs. Got hurt. You know, these football players are doing stuff all year long.
Right.
And every time these football coaches can get their hands on them, or the athletic, the workout guys, they're working their butts out and pushing them to the limit all the time. Let me tell you what football players want to do. This is the easiest thing ever. They want to play games.
Right.
They want to play games. We don't want to practice and get hurt. I don't want to hurt my knee in practice. Play games. So I love that they didn't use that old tired argument about, oh, there are too many games being played. But, Steven, I found the one thing you're going to be able to gripe about.
What's that?
For some reason, God does not want you to be happy until you're 50. Okay?
Right.
Because we got to live with this format for 2 more years.
Right.
That's what we're going to be griping about.
Right.
No, not 3 years from now. Why not this year?
At least I know, though. At least I know it's going to happen. You know?
Carrot.
Well, it's going to be hard. The next 2 years, you're going to be saying, well, I wish.
Right.
I wish we'd finally get to that. Let's go. Why don't we do it? Can't we just implement it?
So,
COVID, like, let's we did some COVID things last year, Major League Baseball, right? Let's just do it. Let's call it a COVID deal and say, let's implement it right now. But they need to get their television contracts in order, and they need to decide which bowl games are going to be included in the extra bowl games and all those kind of things. So still some things to be sorted out. Let's just say congratulations. You know, everyone wants to bash on the Big 12 over the last 10 or 15 years about their administration and stuff, and I'm kind of the nerd that sits over here, and I actually know how to run business and how hard some things are. I've been very impressed with Bob Boolsby from the first day I met him all the way through today. I mean, he's a professional. He handles all the issues that are out there, and they are hard. And I'm glad that he's a part of this. I hope he gets patted on the back for, you know, last year he saved college football. The SEC wanted to play, but the Big 12 has stuck their neck out first. And right in the face of the Big Ten, who thinks they're the baddest dudes in the world and nation, they set the tone. No, the Big 12 said, let's play. The SEC said, let's play. And guess what? Even the Pac-12 and the Big Ten ran back during COVID and said, let's play. So it's been a pretty darn good year or year plus for Bob Boolsby as the head of the Big 12 Conference.
And so, as you mentioned, it's not going to happen for a couple of years. The way that the football gods have treated Mizzou and Kansas State and their chances at competing for a national championship, I fully expect one or both schools in the next year or two to end up like as the number 7 or 8 seed, but the format is not into effect yet. And so that'll lead me to jump off this balcony. But listen to this, Dan. So this is, I don't know why he did it. I don't know if he's, but I think about this season a lot. I think about the 2007 season, right? When Mizzou and Kansas were 1 or 2 and everything else. And so the college football, an NFL columnist for Athlon Sports, Brian Fisher, for some reason, I don't know why he did this, he said, just for fun, I looked up how the 2007 season would map to the 12-team college football playoff format using their final BCS rank. So I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say that the odds of Missouri and Kansas being involved in any future 12-team playoff formats is very small. So the one time that it would have happened, this is what it would have been. And you remember how wild that season was and how crazy that season was, Stan. So this is what it would have looked like using this format. West Virginia, and so the first round would have been West Virginia at Kansas. So, Jake, you would have went to a playoff game. Like, how great would that have been?
Yeah.
West Virginia at Kansas.
Sign me up.
With the winner playing Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. Hawaii.
Oh, my gosh.
Hawaii at USC with the winner playing LSU in the Sugar Bowl.
Hmm.
Florida at Georgia with the winner playing Oklahoma in the Cotton Bowl. And then Arizona State at Mizzou with the winner playing Virginia Tech in the Orange Bowl.
Hmm.
So this just give you an idea how much better and how great would that have been for that wild college football season.
It.
And then moving forward, that just kind of puts in perspective, right? I'm getting chills even thinking about it. I'm so goofy. But you see what I'm saying, Stan? Like that's the kind of thing we're going to have moving forward. And if any of these teams do have a special season, then one dumb loss or so, is it going to keep them out of the possibility of at least competing for a national championship? And that's why it's so exciting, Stan, because it does increase the possibilities for us.
And it's a great exercise when people do that. Thanks for reading that to me. I mean, I could say,
hey, Jake, if we have enough time, can he go ahead and read 2008 and 9,
right,
10, and 11? Because 11, K-State might have been in. 12, K-State would have been in. 14, K-State might have been in. I mean, it's not all about K-State and Missouri and Kansas. I'm just saying you could read every one of those every year, and I would have so much fun listening to it. That is so cool to hear that and hear the possibilities. And really, what the college football playoff, the thing that we got lucky, we're very fortunate that this happened. It turned into a really bad executed committee work. I love Bill Hancock. He might be listening right now. He lives in Kansas City. Love the guy. And I know the committee did their best to do their honest work. But the fact is, I believe that they started, when they split hairs, they're impossible to split. You cannot say in the NFL who the top team is and who the second team is without letting them play in the playoffs. You can't do it. No one can predict how the game's going to occur, or we wouldn't watch sports. That's defined. We know that, right? Games matter. So don't tell me that these are the four top teams and the fifth is out. That's what was happening in the college football playoff, and we were supposed to be happy about it. It wasn't an objective way of getting into the playoff. It was them telling us who was going to be good. And guess what they always did? They reverted back to the biases they've had their whole life. They'd see Ohio State, you know, play poorly, and they'd go, what did they say about Ohio State when that happened? Here's the words. I heard it a million times on ESPN and Fox. Well, Ohio State didn't play their best game when they struggled against Indiana. You know, that wasn't their best game. You look at the talent. Look at all those NFL stars. They're way better than that. Alabama gets upset, and they're going, oh, Alabama's the best team in football. Well, no lie. They are the best team if you give them seven chances. This has to be about you don't get a chance. The Chiefs might have been the best team in football last year. They lost to Tampa Bay. Guess what? They don't get another chance if there is another round. We say, well, no, the Chiefs are really good. Let's put them back in a championship game again. We can't do that. It's got to be on the field, guys. When Alabama gets upset, it's got to matter. What they did is kept justifying why Ohio State and Alabama looked good getting off the bus, and never thinking that a team like Northwestern or someone who went out and won games, like you talk about that Kansas team with Todd Reesing, when they got off the bus, no one thought that they should be playing at a national championship level, okay? And guess what? They were. Let's reward the teams for what they do on the field. And what the college football playoff did in the last few years is just do an eye test and a reputation test. Like, if your name's Alabama, you're in. Remember the first year of the college football playoff, TCU and Baylor should have both been in, and they let them both out. It started right then. It's your reputation that mattered too much. It became such an overriding factor that it made them expand. So I was very unhappy with how it played out, and now I'm very happy because it resulted in a 12-team playoff. But I'm so glad it's not going to be about that as much, and hopefully none at all. Plus, core thing. You win your conference, you got to be in. You know, if you win your conference, you got to be in. And I'll say this, Steven, you did a great clarification for me. There's a Big 12 champ or an SEC champ or whatever who could be left out, but there's almost no scenario where they're not in the top 12 teams in the country to get into the playoff. Even if they have to go on the road in the first game, just give them a chance. And every conference deserves that. So I'm just so happy that we can get after it now. You can have every – so many teams are going to be interested in possibly making it, and we're not going to watch the same teams based upon reputation. We're going to get more games. This is so exciting. Like I said, the only thing is the next 2 years, I'm going to be saying, why can't we have it this year? Why can't we just get going right now? I can't wait to have the expanded playoff.
We've got Stan Weber on the phone back after this on WHB.
I think we know about Kyle. So Kyle hurt his knee. And we'll just see how he does here. It doesn't look like it's ligaments, but we'll see. They're going to look at it and determine it. Chance he has to have surgery on it, but we'll see.
There's a brief injury update on Kyle Long from Andy Reid yesterday. We're rejoined by Stan Weber. And so that's obviously not good news for Kyle Long, but the Chiefs did invest heavily in the offensive line and have several candidates for that guard spot. Stan, as we were talking earlier, it's interesting because, you know, Orlando Brown's the left tackle. You know, Joe Tooney is the guard next to him. But then for the other three positions, you have essentially rookies battling veterans for the starting spot. You have Creed Humphrey, who I think is the favorite, over Austin Blythe, but Austin Blythe is a good, solid vet who's been starting the last couple of years for the Rams. You have Trey Smith, who now is everyone's sleeper, everyone's darling. I saw Jeff Schwartz tweeting yesterday that he clearly is a second-round talent that fell because of the health issues. But if he's healthy, then he has an opportunity to compete for playing time. And he'll be going up against now LDT in his return, but also Andrew Wiley. And you can factor in Nick Allegretti, who has starting experience with the Chiefs. And then at right tackle, I know it's not his rookie year, but it's like a rookie year because he didn't play it all last year. Lucas Niang battling another veteran, Mike Remmers, at right tackle. Kyle Long was going to factor in to the guard and tackle situation. Now, at least for training camp, he's not. He could be a guy that could put on the pup list and have him miss 6 weeks and see if he can come back and help out and see if the Chiefs have any need from there. If they suffer any injuries, hopefully they don't, but anything can happen. But what do you think about that situation where you have two veterans locked in at left tackle and left guard, but the other three spots, you have essentially rookies battling veterans for the starting spot to protect Patrick Mahomes now?
Well, the key thing you said right there is protect. You know, can you do that in big, bold, double-sized letters, protect Patrick Mahomes? And the Chiefs have lived in a very solid world for many years, and you think about the tackles they've had. Those guys, I know Eric Fisher was not available for the Super Bowl, but he basically has been out there left tackle playing for a lot of years. And then you have on the other side a guy who had a consecutive snap streak that was, you know, near record-breaking level. You could count on those guys. And this injury reminds us that in the NFL, if you're a normal team, you have all kinds of injury issues throughout the season. During that 17 weeks of games and 16 games, and now we're going to have 17 games and 18 weeks, you have all kinds of injuries come up, and guys have to miss games or four or five games, some even out for the season. And you've got to be able to substitute players in there. And that's what I look at when you think about this offseason, is how well the Chiefs have addressed this issue. As soon as I heard Kyle Long hurt his knee, I immediately said, man, isn't it great that they just kept adding and adding and adding to that offensive line group and the possibilities of who might be available and who might play? Steven, I know you've gone down the list before, and you think about how many offensive linemen get to be kept on the roster. It looks like there are some legitimate guys, one or two, that might have to be cut. That's how many offensive linemen they had. It looked like the Chiefs just have so many it didn't make sense. This is a great reminder of why it makes sense. You've got to protect Patrick Mahomes. And what I like about it is I think we're going to have a little bit of a wave and a little mix and match over there with those guys, that they're going to have different times where they're playing better, where they are hot. These young guys might be the better players, but this may take them a while. It may take them a while to be able to play at the highest level. You know, and that's the thing that Lucas Niang, I think it's worse than being a rookie. I mean, Lucas Niang sat out last year, and he hasn't played in the NFL. So when will he be ready? So it's nice that you got veteran guys. They may not be superstars, but they know what they need to do. They know the system. They'll be ready to play. Or if the young guys are better, Tardif comes back and is ready to roll and play with the best of everything, rested, and a veteran mentality and does all those things and dominates, it's fine. But every one of these positions, Steven, you're talking about either one of the options at center, right guard, and right tackle. Multiple options at each, and each of them legitimately could be a starter. I think that's good. And it just reminds me, I'm so glad the Chiefs addressed this position the way they did, because it just kept coming and coming, and you thought they'd probably stopped. You know, like, oh, okay, they took care of the offensive line. They got that fixed from the Super Bowl debacle. And then you go, and they signed another guy. And then Kyle Long came out of retirement, and you just keep going, and this is why they did it, Steven. You're going to battle some injuries during the year. We can't count on just one guy at each position. I think they're going to take turns starting, and you're going to see different times of the year where different guys are playing the best football. I love what they've done on the left side. From the center to the right side, it could be a little mix and match, but, man, they have guys to do it. And that's even without Long, and there's a decent chance with the ability that the doctors have today that even if he has some knee issues, it's early enough now that he could be a factor for for much of the season for the Chiefs still.
Stan Weber has been our guest. Stan, again, congratulations and happy anniversary to your parents celebrating number 60 out in Wichita. So please give them our best from the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810, okay?
Okay, thank you. It is a great accomplishment. And thanks for having a big smile on my face. When they see me this morning, they're going like, we're just getting up. Why in the heck do you have the biggest smile on your face? You're just happy about yesterday's celebration. I'm going, yeah, that's great. And the Border Patrol said congratulations. But you know what? I'm really happy because the college football playoff is 12 teams.
Right, Dad. Sit the family down.
Average Jake even liked it.
Sit the family down for breakfast and go over the format and see what everyone thinks. So.
Yeah. Yeah, right. They're not quite as into football as me. They'll love it when the season starts, man, and they'll go to the games and they'll watch. But right now, that's not on their radar. So thanks for giving me my double dose of sports today. Best news, man. Thanks.
It's better than caffeine. Stan, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, take care, guys.
That's Mr. Stan Weber, who joins us every week. Well, Gary is very active on Twitter right now. He's tweeted out that a line of thunderstorms has developed to our north. And this is, he's going out there on a limb now, Jake. Gary tweeted, a line of thunderstorms has developed to our north. I may actually do the weather on 810 today.
He said May.
Well, that's right.
June.
At least he's considering doing the weather.
Well,
so he's at least
I guess it's a step in the right direction.
Right. He's thinking about it. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.